Well, good morning again. We're glad you're here. Trust you've had a good week. I would like to add my deep appreciation to all those who made Vacation Bible School such a blessing that it was. It was absolutely crazy around here last week, but we like that kind of crazy because it was filled with kids and workers, and it was just enthusiasm and excitement. It was just so much good going on, and God blessed. And as Jason shared, we had 17 children, most of those in community, from the community, who gave their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise Him for that. You and I are here this morning. We've worshiped and we've given praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alone. He alone is worthy, right? Boy, that is so weak, guys. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Tell the person next to you how good looking they are. All right, thank you. Please be seated. Let's try this again. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is worthy of all praise and glory and honor and worth. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. He heard that one. There you go. I've been in a little sermon series called Got Questions, and we've looked at and tried to answer, and I believe we have answered the questions. Is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Yes, He is. Can God forgive anything? Yes, He can. Is the Antichrist and this tribulation thing, is it for real? Yeah, it is. And today I want to talk to you about, does God answer prayer? Does God answer your prayers? Has there been any doubt in your mind about that? I heard a story one time about a young girl who wrote a letter to a missionary, someone who was overseas. It was a prayer letter, and she was trying to lend her support to the missionary. Evidently, when she wrote the letter, she'd been told not to request a response to her letter because the missionaries were very busy in their work. So this is what she wrote, and the missionary got a kick out of it. Dear Mr. Missionary, we are praying for you, but we are not expecting an answer. Sometimes I think that little girl, what she wrote, summarizes the prayer lives of a lot of us as Christians, right? We do a lot of praying, don't we? But maybe we don't expect answers to all of our prayers, especially when we have a problem. Why is it we question sometimes, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Have you ever questioned that in your mind? God, you hear me? You listening to me? Do you know what's going on in my life? Well, let me give you the answer, then we're going to explore it a little deeply, okay? Does God answer prayer? Does God answer every prayer? Number one point, here's the answer to the question. God answers every prayer. All right, mark that down. God answers every prayer. When it comes to prayer, I believe the Bible teaches three foundational truths about that. First of all, when you pray, God will hear you. God hears your prayer. The Bible's very clear on this. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So very simple, very basic. When you pray, God hears. Secondly, God not only hears your prayers, but He cares about what you pray to Him, what you're praying about. You matter to Him. Your problems, your concerns, your worries, your fears, all those are important to Almighty God. How can I say that? Peter said it, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your problems, cast all your anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Thirdly, God also answers every prayer. There is no such thing as unanswered prayer. You may say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, not so fast here. If God answers every prayer, then why is my life full of unanswered prayers? You know, there's some who've prayed for a mate and you're still single. There's those who prayed for a job, you're still unemployed. You've prayed for healing, you're still sick. There are some parents who prayed for new kids, but you still got the same old kids. To be real honest, how many of you felt or are feeling even now that God has left a prayer unanswered in your life? That's an easy feeling to have, isn't it? But that's just exactly what it is. It's a feeling. It's not reality, okay? Let me tell you the truth about this. God has answered every prayer you've prayed. But the way He's answered them may not have been what you were wanting to hear. The way we think about prayer, I think, is like in these days, the time we live in, it's putting things in our shopping cart on Amazon, okay? We click on all that we want to pray for, and then we expect the answer package in the mail. If it doesn't come, then God obviously didn't answer. But the truth is that God has promised to answer every prayer. But how He chooses to answer them is another matter. Now, here's what we need to do to be able to recognize how God answers prayer. This is what we need to do to know that God is answering our prayer, what we need to do in the days ahead. Four little things here I want to share with you, okay? Number one, allow God to answer in His own time. You want God to answer your prayer? Allow Him to answer in His own time. Here's the scripture I want to read to you. It's a little lengthy, but it's a great example. We normally read this at Christmas, but I'm going to pull it up to July. We've heard of Christmas in July, haven't we? Well, here's a touch of it, okay? In Luke 1, verses 5 through 23, it's about a priest by the name of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, okay? They were going to become the parents of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. He was of the priestly division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, but they had no children. Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. They were elderly. Now, while Zechariah was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense before the altar. The whole multitude of the people of Israel, they were praying outside at the hour that he was to burn incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and he was afraid. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Listen to this. Your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at the birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not, however, drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." And Zechariah said to the angel, "Well, how shall I know this? I'm an old man and my wife is old." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Man, can you imagine having that job? I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Behold, now you will be silent. You will be mute and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, that baby boy is born, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. The people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them, but he remained mute. And when the time of his service was ended, he went to his home. First point, God answers in His own time. That means God will answer your prayer according to His schedule, to His timetable. In other words, whenever the time God thinks is best. The fact is, I know in my life, God has delayed answers to my prayers. He doesn't answer everything immediately. Why would God wait? I mean, it's important enough for us to pray. Why would he wait answering? I think that was the reason Zechariah was so skeptical here. Zechariah was an amazing guy, I think. An angel comes and he says, I'm Gabriel, the archangel, and you're going to have your prayer answered. And then Zechariah says, well, how can I be sure of this? He's like Thomas. He's the ultimate skeptic here. Why didn't he believe what the angel said? You're going to have a baby. I believe because he'd prayed about this years before, he and Elizabeth. It looks like he went into the temple and prayed, and the angel came and said, hey, Zechariah, your prayer's been answered. But the fact of the matter is, they'd given up on that prayer years earlier. Zechariah says, I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. We gave up on that prayer a long time ago, Gabriel. But the fact is, God will often delay answering your prayer. And the first principle we have to accept is, we need to let God answer in his own time. Verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John. You heard the word heard there, right? That literally means it's already happened. It's already been done. God answers our prayers sometimes immediately, but sometimes there's a delay. He hears it immediately, but sometimes he'll delay that answer for a period of time, and that is one of the hardest things we have to learn. Would you agree with that? To wait, right? As a parent, the hardest concept for my kids to have learned was that they didn't understand the difference between no and not yet. Okay, it was hard for them. Each one of them, at different times, they'd come, Daddy, can I have a cookie? Not yet. And they'd go into a fit like I would never, ever give him a cookie. Why? Because immature people don't understand the difference between no and not yet. Listen to me, if you claim Jesus as your Savior, the mark of maturity in the Christian life is this. How long can I wait? That's a mark of maturity, I think. Babies always have to have it immediately, do they not? But a mature person can wait. One person said to me one time, I tried prayer. Pastor, I prayed for 2 weeks and nothing happened, so I gave up. I lost my faith in prayer. No, you hadn't lost your faith. You've lost your patience. You spell faith, P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. Faith is patience. Why does God delay answers to our prayers, huh? Usually it's because he needs to prepare you and I first to receive the answer. He wants to bless us in order to give us that blessing to us. He has to prepare us for it. My child will come to me. Let's say it, and they'll say, Daddy, can I drive the car today? Now, she's 4 years old, okay? Can I drive the car, Daddy? And I'll say, well, honey, not today. Someday you'll get to drive the car. When you grow up and you're mature and you've learned how to drive, then you'll get that request answered, but not yet because you need to grow up. God waits many times to answer our prayers because we need to grow in some area of our life and of our faith. It's like God is saying, you get your life changed and I'll help you work on the problem you're praying about. Instead of going out and saying, Lord, change this situation, we need to pray, Lord, change me in this situation. Lord, change me in this marriage. Change me and not my spouse so much. Lord, change me at this job. And once we're in line, then God can go ahead and answer. The fact of the matter is, God is never late answering your prayer according to his schedule. His timing is perfect. We may think he's late, but he's never late. God's delays are not God's denials. Not yet does not mean no. Second thing we need to understand in order to receive God's answer is to allow God to answer not only in his own time, but in his own way. not only whenever he thinks is best, but however he thinks is best. God's ways are always better and usually bigger when he answers. The Bible says in Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher." The reason God often delays an answer to prayer is so he can answer in a way that you would never, ever imagine or think about. What would have happened in this story that I just read to you about Elizabeth and Zechariah if God would have answered their prayer immediately, okay? When they asked God for a baby and he said, "Okay, here it is." What would they have gotten? They would have gotten a little Jewish boy, wouldn't they? And they would have loved him or her, but they would have cherished the baby and it would have been great. But God delayed the request for a number of years. And then when he answered their prayers, he gave them John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus Christ. I believe our problem many times is twofold. We ask too little and we want it too quick. Instead of letting God work in his time and in his way, we don't dream big enough like God does. We don't pray big enough. We don't think big enough. We aim too low because Ephesians 3:20 tells us this. It's in your bulletin if you look. He is able. God is able to do what? Far more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. That's our God. The way God does it is like the way he gave the land, the promised land to Israel, to the Israelites. And when they were led across the Red Sea, and when they came finally to the promised land, God said, "I'm going to give you this land. It's yours. But I'm only going to give it to you a little bit at a time. I'm not going to give it all to you at once because it would overwhelm you." If God really gave you all the requests you ask, I think it would overwhelm us. Let God answer in his own time. Let God answer in his own way. You're praying about a job. You want to get this job, this change in your job, and all of a sudden it falls through. Don't sweat it. God's got a better idea. You're praying about a situation, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out. Don't worry about it. God's got plan A. Let God answer in his own time and in his own way. Thirdly, allow God to answer in his own power. I'm going to ask this as sincerely as I can, and I'm speaking to me too. Don't try to help God out, okay? He doesn't need your help. He's able to do what? Far more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Don't ask for it and then go out and try to work it out on your own. Let God answer it with his own power. Many times that's called a miracle. There's an important truth, I believe, in this story about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the fact is this. Man, I've seen it in my life. God will often wait until the situation is humanly impossible before he answers. You been there? When did God give Zacharias and Elizabeth a baby? After they were beyond childbearing years. They were too old. Really, they were physically unable to have kids. And then God answered their prayer. And the point is that God waited until it was humanly impossible, when it was hopeless, and then he answered their prayer with a miracle. Now here's a warning I need to give you about praying, okay? If you start praying about something, particularly a problem in your life, don't be surprised if it gets worse before it gets better. Okay? You're having problems in your marriage and you start praying and your wife gets, or your husband gets more hostile. You're praying about a financial situation and all of a sudden it gets work. You're praying for somebody to get well and they get sicker. Why? Because sometimes God will let things get to the point of hopelessness in order that he might gain the most glory out of it. It's all about him. His glory. Let God answer in his power. His plan is to let the thing get out of our control. And when we're about ready to give up hope, that's an opportunity That's a time for God to do something great. There's that beautiful little story in the Gospel of John about two sisters by the name of Mary and Martha. You remember them? They had a brother. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. Jesus was in another village, not too far away. They sent word, Lord, Lazarus, the one you love so much, he's like a brother to you. He's sick. He's going to die. If you don't do something, will you come and heal him? And Jesus waited 4 days until Lazarus was dead. And then he came. Of course, they questioned, Lord, why didn't you come? Where have you been? If you'd been here when we called, this wouldn't have happened. We called you 4 days ago. You delayed and now our brother's dead. They're in essence rebuking God here. And we do the same thing, do we not? Why, God? Why me? Why them? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? Why haven't you answered? This is lousy. This stinks. And Jesus just calmly looked at him and said, Mary and Martha, if you'll just believe, you'll see the glory of God. And he walks up to the grave, to the cave. They move the stone out of the way, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And here he comes. The point is, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, waited until the situation was humanly impossible, and then he acted. And he did it in his own power. Now let me ask you, which gives God the most glory? Raising the dead or curing a sick person? God always does it in a way that's going to give him the most glory. Do you want an answer to your prayer from God? Then be willing to allow God to answer in his own time. Be willing to allow God to answer in his own way. And be willing to let God answer in his own power. And then fourthly, allow God to answer for his own purpose. The entire Bible summarizes why God answers prayer in two statements. Number one, for our growth. Number two, for his glory. That's why God answers all prayer. First, for our growth, for our gain, for our blessing. And two, for his glory. He'll answer the prayer when he can be glorified in that answer. Why did God answer Elizabeth and Zechariah's prayer for a baby, for a boy? Because he needed a John the Baptist. He had a purpose for that little boy. He knew that Elizabeth and Zechariah would raise him well. This blows my mind. God hears billions of prayers throughout the day. And he answers them all according to his will and for our good. That complexity of all of that, of how he brings together the details of all the people involved and all the prayers and all the circumstances, it's infinitely mind-boggling. It'll stretch you beyond your capacity to go. It requires that pieces fall into place in a sequence that only God can fathom. How do we rise above the pain and come to believe that God is right and good, even when he says no to our most pained prayers? How do we still believe? How do we understand? And most important of all, how do we go on when it seems like all hope is gone and the divine no is the final answer? All of that returns again to the central issue of prayer. Are you with me? Are you ready to accept this? We sang about it a moment ago. Trusting him. Without faith and without trust, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. When God doesn't seem to answer our prayers, when God says no, we must choose whether or not, I don't care. I'm going to trust him anyway. It doesn't matter. Even when we don't understand, even when we don't want to accept the answer, trust requires you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, to believe God is right, whether we agree with it or not. So let me summarize here. When you pray and the request is not right, God will say no. When you pray and you're not right, God will say grow. When you pray and the timing is not right, God says slow. And when everything is in place, God will say go. He gives the green light and you're able to move. Now, I can't close this sermon without telling you this, okay? There are three little prayer busters, okay? You want God to hear your prayer. You want God to answer your prayer. You need to make sure none of these three are evident in your life. These are actions and attitudes that demand such immediate attention that when it comes before that has to come before our prayer request. Situations where the answer to our prayer from God is that you need to address this in your life before you address this request before God. The number one thing, okay, it's three of them. Number one, unconfessed sin. The first prayer buster is unconfessed sin. Here's just one example of what the Bible teaches about how this affects everything. Isaiah 59:2. Your sins, your iniquities, they have made a separation. They separated you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Unconfessed, unrepentant sin will cut off communication with God. It will shut down the relationship. God, it's not that He will not hear. God will not hear our prayer. Why? Because we're showing complete disdain and indifference to Him in our relationship with Him. We're talking about areas of rebellion where we know this is wrong in my life. This is wrong before God, but I don't care. I've decided that I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it whether God likes it or not, whether the Bible says it's wrong or not. And according to the Bible, that's serious. Psalm 66. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. But if I had cherished iniquity, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Proverbs 28:9. If one turns his ear away from hearing the word, then even his prayer is an abomination before God. Isaiah 1. When you spread out your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you, says God. Even though you make many prayers, I won't listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before me. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Plead the widow's cause. So let me put this as plainly as I know how. If you're tolerating sin in your life along those lines, don't waste your time praying, okay? Unless it's a prayer confession. Secondly, second prayer buster, unresolved relational conflict. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 5. If you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then you can come and offer your gift. So here's the situation. People were coming to make a burnt offering, they were to atone for their sins. They were wanting God to forgive them, to get right with God. That was good, but they were doing it as if their relationship with others didn't matter. There's a lack of forgiveness there. They had grudges. They had bitterness in their hearts here. Jesus said, it does matter. It matters so much that if you're in church and you remember, you get up and walk out and go make amends, then you can come back and worship. Last one, last prayer buster, selfishness. Just plain being selfish. It's all about me, all right? The Bible says, James 4:3, you're asking, you're praying, you're not receiving because you're asking wrongly. You're spending it on passions and pleasures. It's all about you. He's saying, if your prayers are along the lines of, God, make me famous, God, make me rich, God, make me have a good time. Make all my dreams come true. Always give me the best parking places. All of that kind of thing. You probably aren't connecting very well with the Spirit of God. We can get real fancy with this one now, okay? Things like, God, make me famous so I'll have the ability to influence others. Or, God, make me rich so I can give a lot of money away to needy people. Oh, man, you know what the answer to that one is. If you're not giving it away now at the level you have that you're presently in, you won't give it away then. Generosity isn't about margin, it's about spirits. And the key to prayer is that it's less about what you want and more about what God wants. Let me close with this. It's a prayer written by a soldier in the Civil War. You've heard it before, but listen to it after this sermon. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, but I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men the most richly blessed. What a great prayer. When you pray, are you willing to let God have His own time and way? And answer in His own power in the way He chooses? Are you willing to let Him be glorified in how He answers? Let's pray like that now. Father, I want to thank You for today, and I want to thank You, God, for this time we could just dwell upon one of the greatest gifts You've given to us, and that's prayer. Thank You, God. Father, I pray that everyone in here will allow You to answer our prayers to You in Your way, in any way You see fit, and Your time whenever You see fit, and whatever way You think best, and in Your own power to allow You to answer our prayers for Your purpose and for Your glory. Father, I pray that we will be willing to do that and to see You do not just great things in our lives, not just to take us on to maturity, but God, that You might be glorified, and to trust You. To trust You, to only trust You in everything. Father, we love You. We're undone without You. And we praise You today in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about prayer. There may be a time that if any of you, as we sing, if you want to come down and just kneel at the altar or at this front pew, just feel free to come. There's something about kneeling before God that's special. God is leading you to receive Jesus Christ, because what I've shared today is for Christians. You come. I'll lead you in how to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If God is leading you to join this good church, and we ask you to come down, and I'll meet you here at the front as well. However God is leading you, be obedient. Let's stand together and let's sing.